and dragons, that's unseemly haste. The Fae aren't trying anything yet, but they'll be on the situation like sharks on steak if they smell blood in the water. Any weakness amongst the dragons is an opportunity for them. Our best course of action is probably to stay well out of the whole business. We must concentrate on our side of the deal, and we absolutely have to maintain our neutrality. If either side decides we're biased, or that we're playing both of them against the middle, then the whole plan goes out of the window. And I don't need to tell you what might happen to the librarians in the field. Besides, we're understaffed. We need a recruitment programme, as I've said before, repeatedly. And we need it now. Alberich's actions during the recent crisis only made things worse. The problem was already in existence. Hopefully this current mess won't involve any of our people, as it's making the political situation potentially explosive. As always, it's our duty to stop the Fae and dragons from turning a mere disagreement into a world-destroying war. Let's try and maintain the balance where we can. Catherine, librarian. P.S. Will someone please show me how to turn off the automatic signatures on this piece of software? You all know who I am. P.P.S. Kostche, you still have that copy of T.H. White's The Book of Mordred signed out to you. Would you kindly finish reading it and pass it back into general circulation? Some of the rest of us would like a look at it too. Chapter 1. My dear girl, the woman sitting next to Irene sniffed. If you haven't opened your veins before, then do let Mr. Harper do it for you. He's had a lot of experience with nervous young things like you. Irene looked down at the scalpel lying in the saucer next to her cup of tea. She was trying to think of a way out of the situation, one that wouldn't involve her fleeing the house and slamming the door behind her. She'd visited multiple alternate worlds in order to obtain books. She was capable of dealing with different customs and knew all sorts of polite manners. But she didn't want to serve herself up as dish of the day. Nobody actually said there were going to be vampires attending, she said mildly. I wasn't expecting this. Bah! Another of the elderly women snorted. Irene was the youngest person in the crowded room, trapped in a nest of chairs and little tables that were encrusted with ornaments. The thick curtains were drawn tightly against the night outside. The tea was cold. The cakes were stale. The atmosphere was thick and heavy, and if it hadn't been for the fragrance of the log fire, Irene had a suspicion that it would have smelled even worse. I don't wish to sound harsh, but in my day, a young woman knew her duty. If this Miss... She trailed off, trying to remember Irene's name.
Miss Winters,
Mr. Harper said. His hair was a grizzled white that retreated in a pronounced widow's peak, and his eyes were black as coal, sunk deep behind half-closed eyelids. He hunched in his chair, tilting forward like a vulture scouting for prey. And whenever he spoke, he bared his fangs. The one highlight of the evening so far was that he wasn't sitting next to Irene. He was apparently one of the minor vampires attached to the household. The more powerful ones hadn't risen yet that evening. Small mercies.
So nice to have some young blood present at our little soiree.
Of course, if Irene had known that it was going to be a soiree, let alone have vampires present, she wouldn't have attended. Which was probably why they hadn't told her. She'd thought this was going to be just a straight book exchange. The negotiations had all gone through smoothly, and she'd been looking forward to collecting a new book for the library's collection, without violence, drama, or running down corridors screaming. Apparently, she'd been